Bibles open today to the book of Corinthians.
I'm not sure if it's a first or a second Corinthians, I'll let you know.
It'll be in the third chapter if that gets you started. I believe it's second Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter number 3.
Sister Nancy, I am going to preach that message that I told you the Lord laid on my heart earlier in the week. I'll tell you all about that here in just a little bit. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Church preacher loves you. I've been praying for each and every one of you. As far as I know, some of our elderly and shut-ins, I have tried my best to follow up with them and contact them weekly. Sister Donna's doing just fine. Her son is taking good care of her. And many of our other Sister Geraldine's here with us today. Glad she's here. It's good to see all of our folks that are able to get out, to be out and about safely. I'll let you know when you feel that it's safe to go ahead and open the doors of the church publicly to everyone. But we'll just kind of phase it in a little bit at a time. So follow us on our Facebook page. Get in touch with Brother James McBride. He's right over here in the black van. And he'll get you on our one-call system, so when we make up and post our updates, we'll make sure everybody's in. Brother Kevin, it's good to see you over there, brother. Glad you're here. Kevin, won't you get ready at the end of the service? Come on up and give us a prayer. Could you do that, Brother Kevin? All right. Yes, sir. I think he said yes.
He did.
He did. Okay, good. And so I appreciate everybody being here today. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. If you're there, give me a good Baptist honk. Yeah, that'll do. That'll wake up the neighbors. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, I want you to notice the little word epistle. Say it, the word epistle out loud. Epistle. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of recommendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Now what I'd like for you to pay very close attention to while I preach is God gives me the grace and liberty and unction from on high. I want you to listen very carefully to the word that the preacher's going to give you today. I believe it'll be a tremendous help to you. I believe it'll be an encouragement to you. Friend, I want you to know that God has told the preacher to comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. And I want to be a comfort to you. I want to be a help to you. Those of you that know Christ, I want to be a help to you. Would you listen to the preacher just for a moment, please? For your soul's sake. Listen, friend. The Bible says that you and I are an epistle that is written in the heart of the Apostle Paul. It is not an epistle that is written with ink, and it's not chiseled into a stone. My friend, it's an epistle. It is words and letters and a grand story of God's redeeming love that He has poured and shed abroad in our hearts, that is in the heart of Jesus Christ Himself. And I want you to know that when Paul wrote this epistle to the Corinthians, he was telling them that you are like an epistle to me. You are something that I am writing, and you are something that I care about. You are a wonderful story of God's redeeming love. And I want to preach, if I can, just for a little bit on that part of us being an epistle. I wonder today, if in heaven we can listen to our grannies and grandpas. And I wonder today, if they could open up the newspaper, what they would read about us. I wonder if Paul, the great apostle of the Christian faith, the one who set forth the great doctrines of the church, the one who says that all is sin to come short of the glory of God, the one who said that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, the one who wrote in Romans 5:8, but God committed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He said that He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm not even started, buddy, but I feel like preaching right now. Praise God. I wonder if Paul could read the newspaper, what he would say about Harvey, what he would say about Housley's, what he would say about the Warrens, what would the news say about us, amen. I wonder if he would read the epistle, if he would read the local newspaper about what's going on. I wonder if he would find joy. I wonder if he would find happiness. I wonder if he would be disappointed in us. I want to know what would be in that paper. I think, too, most importantly, wonder what Jesus would be doing if he had to wait for the paper to come out. Sister Essie handed me the paper, I think it was Monday, April, it was an April, no, it was Wednesday, April the 29th. This here is the LaRue County Herald News. Brother Bradley, can you see it through the Facebook page? Here's the newspaper. And it says, LaRue County Herald News. And on the front of the page, you got a very bad story of some arrests that were made. All the bad stories make the front page, it seems like. And I was sad to read it. But my attention came over here to the main story. And I wonder how many people read it. You know what the story is? It's got a big old John Deere green tractor out here. It's got an American flag on each side of the mirrors. And it's got a, well, I suppose it's a herbicide sprayer attached to the back of it. And the title of the page is in a hashtag. And it says, Still Farming. And so, I told Sister Essie, I said, I'm going to preach on that right there. Still farming. Ah, there's a lot of reasons why they could quit farming today. There's a lot of bleak outlook of what's going on with the potatoes being wasted. And that's a sight for sore eyes to see that. You know your preacher likes potatoes, amen. And by the way, thank you, the Perkins, for bringing us some food. We enjoyed that. Still working on that banana pudding. But that was a good portion there, and I appreciated the McDowell's bringing us some good food, and praise the Lord for that, giving us some sustenance to get us through the week. But I appreciate those that will still keep on working, even though everybody said, let's quit and throw the towel. I want you to know something, friend. When God, and he passes out the heavenly newspaper, amen, Sister GL, when the Lord passes out that heavenly newspaper, I wonder what it says. What it says about LaRue Baptist Church. What it says about the preacher over here at LaRue Baptist Church. What is Paul reading about when he leans back in the glory world and he makes that fresh pot of coffee, amen, Brother Stephen, and he puts in that sugar in that creamer, and the angels gather around, and the great Apostle Paul leaning and brushing shoulders with the Apostle Peter, amen, Brother Stewart, and he opens up the newspaper, and there's an article in here, LaRue Baptist Church, still farming for Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to give you 3 points and we'll be done. Y'all ready? Number one, fasten your seat belts. Don't push the brakes in at all. We're going to get going. Keep all arms and limbs in the vehicle at all times. I feel like preaching today. Amen. Hey, first thing I want you to know is that we're still serving God. Amen. It's not the time for us to throw in the towel. Now is not the time for you to quit serving God. Now it's not the time for you to be faithful. Thank you, Lord Jesus, God Almighty. I believe there was a fellow in the Old Testament by the name of Joshua. Well, he got to a point in his ministry as a leader over possibly several millions of people. As a leader to them, a spiritual leader, a political leader, a warring leader. He was the great leader of the nation of Israel. And at the end of the book of Joshua, the 24th chapter, he said, y'all need to get right with God. You need to get rid of your alcohol and your drugs and your wickedness and wild living. He said you needed to get rid of all your false gods. He said you need to straighten up for the Lord. Hey, my friend, and he was an old man, and he still preached the right preaching. And you know what he said? He said, but I don't know what y'all going to do. I don't know what y'all going to do in 2020 pandemic of the COVID-19. But I'll tell you what Joshua said. Joshua said, as for me and my house, amen. I can't speak for y'all, but I can speak for me. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, amen. And I want you to know, my friend, that you need to make that decision today. He said, choose you this day. Who to serve God, then praise the Lord, get out and serve Him. If you're not going to serve Him, then let us know about it so we can keep going on, amen. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord, amen. Still farming. Wonder what Paul would do with that old paper. Well, that old preacher hadn't quit yet, y'all. He's still preaching it. Hey, that Sunday school teacher hadn't quit yet. Hey, that altar worker still hadn't laid in that soul winner. Hasn't laid down the service yet. Hey, they're still paying their tithes and they're still doing, they're bringing their offerings to the Lord. Hey, look here, this one's getting saved, amen. Look at what good things God's doing in that little church out in LaRue County, Kentucky. Still farming. Still serving. I got to thinking on that a little while. Jesus had every reason to quit. Every reason in the world. The Bible says that He came unto His own. They should have kissed on Him and loved Him. Huh? They should have killed the fatted calf and put a robe around Him and bowed their knees to Him. They should have called Him Lord and God and Savior. And they should have called Him the Redeemer. But they were so busy with their own ways and their own sins. They crucified the Lord of glory and they pierced Him in the cross of Calvary. But He never quit. He kept serving God. He was in that garden and He said, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. God never said a word because it was God's will. It was God's will that Jesus keep serving Him. Satan tried to get Jesus to be killed in the beginning, but Jesus kept on serving God. He tried to drown all the babies and feed them to the river, but God preserved His Son. Hey, and then don't you know that there were many times Satan tried to trip up Jesus. But the angels in heaven said, how's He doing? Jesus passes the test again. Satan loses again. Satan has not got a hook on Jesus. Jesus is still raising the dead and restoring the sight to the blind and opening up the deaf ears and unstammering tongue. Jesus is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when Satan had Jesus crucified on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says that there was darkness all over the way, all over the place. And everybody left and it was a sad day. But there was a great and burning light in hell. There was a party in hell. Why, it said Friday night, Jesus was crucified and He was defeated. But Saturday came. And then the Sunday paper came out, praise God. And He was alive and the tomb was empty. Jesus is still serving God today. Jesus stops, I'll stop. When Jesus dies, we can die too. But I'm here to tell you some good news, friend. And the only problem is I got Bible to back it up. He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. The Bible says that He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. As long as God lives, you'll live, my friend. And as long as Jesus serves God, we should serve God. Did Paul ever throw in the towel? No. No, he didn't. Even when he was put into a prison cell, Paul never stopped. He turned, matter of fact, he turned his prison into a pulpit. And he wrote some of the most precious writings under the inspiration of God that we have in our English Bible. Thank God for people that will keep on serving. Okay? Still farming. Lurie Baptist Church, y'all still up there. Still farming. It gets tough. It gets hard. But keep serving God. Listen, my friend, if you'll be faithful and if you'll continue to serve God, the Bible says, we shall reap if we faint not. Be the saint who won't faint. Number two, not only are we still serving, we're still sowing. S-O-W-I-N-G. We're still sowing. He that goeth forth, they that sow in tears, shall reap in joy, is what it said. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing and taking his seed with him. What am I doing today? I'm still farming. I'm taking see some people get saved after a little while. I don't control. Hey, hallelujah! I don't control when they get saved, but I can control who does some of the sowing. God's given you a seed, and it's in a gospel tract. It's a seed of the gospel in your heart. And my friends, we ought to go out and sow. And sometimes we sow in tears. If we'll do that, we'll reap in joy, he said. Still farming, amen. That's getting good now. I appreciate the Smiths stepping up and volunteering and making them hot meals for those first responders. I wish we could do more, but we can do something. Why? We pray for our first responders. We appreciate I better be careful how I say this. I had a relative, let me say that, that's not only a state trooper, but I have another relative that's the chief of police in the city of LaGrange, my hometown. And I was just talking to him in person today, telling him about what we had going on. Oh, he was so honored by that, thrilled about that. What a blessing we are to our community. Not only, hey, y'all don't see us praying, but we pray for you and your protection and your service. We want to feed you something hot this week. And not only that, we want to give you the gospel of Jesus, those gospel tracts. Guess what we're still doing, my friend? We're still sowing. We're still farming. Hey, this pandemic is not going to shut me up unless God says it's time for you to go. It's not my time to go. And God has not called you to go. He's called you to be faithful. Get on your tractor, amen. Hallelujah. Get on your tractor and keep plowing for Jesus, honey. Get on your John Deere and pray for souls to be saved. Pass out gospel tracts and invite people to church. Let's keep sowing in the kingdom of God. Paul opens up that paper. Well, let's see what's going on in Kentucky. I'm sure he may get another state thing. Well, let's get right out of that state. There's nothing ever going on good in there. Let's see what's going on in the old thoroughbred state of Kentucky. LaRue Baptist Church still preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. Still uses the old King James Bible. Still sings the old songs of the faith. Still preaches the old doctrines that I bled and died for. Hey, my friend John and Paul and Peter, gather around and read the epistles that is written in their hearts. Amen. You and I are that epistle. Let's not let them down in our generation. Amen. What kind of seed are we sowing? The gospel seed. The seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ came into this world 2,000 years ago. He lived a sinless life. He offered himself to be the Savior of the world. They rejected him and crucified him and nailed him on the cross. And he bled and died. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Bible says that Savior was placed in a borrowed tomb for 3 days. And on that third and appointed day, he rose again to give us life everlasting. The Bible teaches us, amen, that he has gone into heaven to prepare a place for those who are saved, those who are believers in Jesus, that he's gone to prepare a place for them. Friends, we've enjoyed a beautiful day yesterday and today. Can you imagine what heaven must be like? Could you just dwell a little bit of what God in heaven is preparing for his church? Let's be faithful and continue to sow seeds of the gospel and not seeds of discord and murmurs. If you're not going to sow anything other than the gospel, then put your tractors up because you're going to sow tares if you're not careful. Just sow the gospel seed. God bless you, amen. I hate to be a church that's got big old tractors, you know, Brother Joe. Got some big old Case tractors, John Deere tractors. Help me out, Brother Garrett McDowell. International. There you go. I needed one more to help me. Hey, I got all this garage space. There's a lot of good buildings out there. Got all these tractors. And they're not sowing the gospel with them. Bible says that if you don't be faithful for the few things God's given you, then he'll take those things away and give it over to somebody else that'll use it. I tell you what, friends, I decided a long time ago that this gospel is good for the drunk and the poor and the needy just as much it is for presidential leaders and it is for preachers, amen. I want you to know something about me. I was just a lost boy growing up in this Commonwealth of Kentucky. I'm just as American as anybody else. I didn't grow with a silver spoon in my mouth. I learned that you got to work to make a living. I learned that you got to make something of yourself in this life. I want you to know that I didn't come out of the roses, but I came out of some thorns. And I want you to know this blessed Bible has guided me in my life, has helped me to be a better husband, has helped me to be a better father. And though I fail and make mistakes, I want you to know that I've got something that is of supernatural. This world cannot take away. Let's not throw this thing aside, amen, this precious seed. Let's keep farming for Jesus, all right? And number three, still serving. Still sowing. Still, number three, striving together. Hold your place now. Turn it over to the book of Philippians. And I'm done. Sister Andrew, if you'd like to come play something at this time. Philippians chapter number 2. And I preach from this Wednesday night. Striving together. Folks, I want you to know something very, very important. The church is a called out assembly of baptized believers who have voluntarily joined themselves together in order to carry out the Great Commission, which is going into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we are. We're a voluntary assembly of baptized believers in Jesus who come together. Amen. That's an assembly. That's a church. That's a called out assembly. In an assembly, God is blessed with pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now that's straight out of Ephesians chapter 4. But I want you to know that it ain't my church. It's God's church. And I want you to know that I take my position seriously. I take my vocation seriously. And I want to be of a help. And I want to be of a blessing. But I can't do it alone. You know that. And you can't do it alone. That's why it's an assembly. Sister JL, that's why it's a togetherness. That's why when you come, you have a place that you belong. You're not just floating out on an island all by yourself. Friend, I'm glad that I've got the prayers of the church that are in my corner. When the preacher needs to pray for, the church is there to help out. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 27, he said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Friends, we don't need to be scared to death. We need to be striving together for the faith of the gospel. I love how the Lord just turns the light on at the perfect time. It just amazes me. He did that to us last service, too. Hey, striving together. You know those folks out there today that are trying to do this Christianity thing solo? They only go so far with that. They can only dig so deep with that. Shame on us when we feel that we have to carry the weight of the world upon our own shoulders. Shame be upon us when we feel that we have to carry all the pain of the world upon our own shoulders. That is exactly what Satan would have you to think. The church is here to work together, to pray one for another, to lift each other up, to care for one another, to bear you one another's burdens. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Thanks be unto God for the church house and for the church family. I'll open that newspaper today. Wonder how that little LaRue Baptist church is holding on. And we got another church that closed this year. Another one closed this year. Another one closed. Well, this person here, they They were going to get into the ministry this year, but the pandemic, Brother Stewart, they was going to step up and help out, but oh, that pandemic came on, just knocked the breath out of them. Lord, have mercy. Well, this one here said he was going to get saved this year. John Smith was going to give his life to Christ. He said last year, Lord, if you'll let me get through this summer, I'll go to the old church house and walk that aisle and make Christ the Lord of my life. John Smith, he's already died. Yeah, I wonder how many brothers Stephen thought this year they would get saved. And maybe they didn't have that opportunity. They kept holding it off. And now that pandemic has come. And now they're dead. They waited too long. Or they lost that touch of God that was stirring their heart for them to be saved. And they kept pushing it off and pushing it off. God is not willing that any should perish, he said, but that all should come into repentance. John 3:16 is still in the Bible. And my friends, and just in case you don't know this, I don't care what the government says, you are essential to God. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I wonder when Paul opens up that letter and he reads those epistles and he turns the pages and he comes to the L's and he goes down to the A and it says LaRue Baptist Church. I wonder what he sees. Are we still farming? Are we still serving? Hey, are we still serving? Are we still sowing? Are we still striving together? Paul could put that paper down. Say, boy, that's some good news. He ain't quit yet. I wonder how many people out there, Brother Stewart may have thought, well, that's a cute little preacher. I appreciate him. He does preach a good gospel message. I like that he's a little fired up. I enjoy that, but he ain't going to last. We'll see if he'll last this year. I wonder how many people have thought that in this county. Well, the church will put up with it. We can last another year, amen. I wonder how many people thought, well, that church ain't going to grow tonight. Look at it. Even in the pandemic, we may even have a record attendance today of cars, it looks like to me. Got a good showing today. Got some children. I appreciate you children being in here, JL's kids. Yeah. Thank you all for coming today. Amen. God loves you, and I love you too. Friend, guess what? As long as God's got a people, a remnant on this earth, we're going to keep farming. We're going to keep serving, keep sowing, and keep striving together. There's people out there that say, won't you just quit? Satan says, won't you just stay down? Quit getting back up again. The world says, won't you just give up? The flesh says, won't you just give it all up? And the devil says, come on, quit, quit. And he sucker punches us more times than we can count. I just get back up again. The Bible says the just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Something that's inside of him won't let him stay down, Brother James. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. My friends, as long as Jesus is on the throne, hell and Satan have to bow down to him and submit to his authority. He can't take your life unless God tells him he can take your life. My friend, let's keep serving God. Let's keep serving God. They get to serve chocolate over there. Let's go serve Jesus. Amen. It's a free country last time I checked. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's put the newspaper down and talk to you. Have you been saved? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you trusted in Christ as your Savior? Say, brother, how do you get saved? Well, you can't be saved unless God begins to draw in your heart. And if God's drawing in your heart, it's as though he's standing at your heart's door. As wicked and ungodly and unkempt as that thing is, he knocks on that door just as he does any other. And he says, if you'll let me come in, let me be your Lord and your Savior, I'll come in and change your life. All you got to do is by faith open that door. You pray something like this, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. And I don't want to die and go off into a devil. a devil's hell. I realize that Jesus is the Son of God, that He was crucified and buried and rose again the third day to give me life everlasting. God, I know that's You knocking on my heart. Thank You. I let You come in right now, God, and be my Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, is filled in the Bible. And you can be saved, my friend. Maybe you'd like to, some folks out there that God's been stirring on you to make a decision. Maybe that's church membership, or you need to rededicate your life. Well, you can commit that to your heart right now in your seat. Maybe you can pray for some lost friend or some lost family in your seat. Maybe you're going to help us out when this week we're going to have meals for medics, and you're going to hand that food over in the name of Jesus Christ. If you can get involved with that, just let us know. Let's keep striving together. Amen. That's the message, friend. Let's just keep going. Let's proceed. Do you want to proceed? Somebody asked. Let's proceed. Amen. Let's proceed. All right. Okay. Well, let me do this. If you are a Sunday school teacher, I want you to step out of your vehicle right now. Deacon Harlan, I'd like to ask you to step out of your vehicle right now. Sunday school teacher, Deacon Harlan, let me see you stepping out. There's somebody. Let's see. All right. Very well. There's a few. Good. I need to have you come up here just briefly after the service. Meet me up here at the front. Let's all stick our hands out the car windows and lift it up to God's beautiful blue sky. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank You for the opportunity to gather together in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for my preacher. Thank You for my Bible. Thank You for my salvation. Thank You for my great church. I pray, Father, that You help us to stick together during these dark times. Please, Lord, provide the cure. Give us an answer. Find the solution for us, Lord, and put it into our hands that we may be able to see lives saved. Most importantly, Lord, help us to do right with the gospel. Help us to be a lighthouse and a tumultuous sea. Help us, Lord, to be a station for those that need to get fuel. Lord, help us to be a hospital for the spiritually sick and needy. We pray for souls to be saved. Father, we pray that people could turn to God before it's everlasting too late. Bless our church and strengthen our lives, and we won't fail to give You the glory and praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, and we all shout it out, Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.